Forecasters see strong job growth, but strong enough?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Jeremy Hobson. It's the monthly report that economists pay attention to the most these days, U.S. employment numbers. In just a few hours, the Department of Labor releases its jobs data for February, and forecasters expect our economy added more jobs than we've seen in a long time. But is it what we need to get back to pre-recession levels? Marketplace's Jennifer Collins tells us, don't count on it.
Georgetown University economist Harry Holzer says our economy needs to add more than 250,000 jobs a month. And even then, it would take 5 years to drop below 5% unemployment. The last time we saw growth like that was in the tech boom of the 90s.
It was kind of fun, frankly.
Holzer was chief economist at the Department of Labor back then.
Because it wasn't hard to crow about those numbers.
Will economists ever have something to crow about?
It's possible that we could see that again.
But not probable, says Sylvia Allegretto, an economist at the University of California, Berkeley.
No one is expecting to have job growth anytime soon that is going to come close to what we saw in, say, the boom times of the late 1990s.
With the rising price of oil, cutbacks in state budgets, and the slow pace of hiring among private companies, she says it's unlikely we'll drop below 7% unemployment for several years. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Some good news for credit card customers. And how long has it been since we've been able to say that? Actual good news. More than 1 million Bank of America credit card holders are going to see their interest rates go down. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith just had to check this out.
The credit card interest rate cuts are part of the CARD Act Congress passed in 2009. Bill Hardikoff is the CEO of LowCards.com.
People had their APRs go skyrocketing in a number of cases, and it was unfair, and that's why Congress acted.
The CARD Act ruled banks needed to reevaluate any interest rate hikes imposed in 2009 and much of 2010. The banks have a lot of leeway in how they reevaluate, but many customers could see their rates drop significantly. Banking analyst Bart Narder with Celent says banks want to lend money again and are starting to raise credit limits and lower interest rates to encourage borrowing.
Banks are seeing delinquency rates drop, and that makes them more confident about extending more credit.
Card companies also don't want to lose good customers, says Hardikoff with LowCards.com.
The credit card industry is still a very competitive industry. Issuers want to hold on to their very best customers.
Hardikoff expects other banks will follow suit and millions more cardholders will see their interest rates go down. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. We're on the oil price watch again this morning, and the cost of a barrel of crude is nudged back up today by about $1 a barrel. Crude futures for April are back up to $102 a barrel. As they did last time this happened, some lawmakers are suggesting it might be time to open the government's strategic petroleum reserves to keep a lid on prices at home. Overseas markets are taking this all in stride. Asian exchanges closed higher, and European stocks have added around 0.5% to 0.75%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
The solar power industry is advancing rapidly in neighborhoods across the country, but it's not sales necessarily. The fastest growing part of the business is in leasing solar panels to homeowners instead of selling them. Solar lease companies expect to double their business this year. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
In the backyard of Mike Jones' suburban home in West Hills, California, you see citrus trees, a swing set, and
22 solar panels on the south side of our house.
They've been turned on about 5 months. When the sun's shining, Jones' utility meter sometimes points backwards.
Now we're generating more than we're using.
But he can't sell that power to the grid because the system belongs to a company called Sungevity.
There's no way we could have afforded it without going through the lease method.
The panels would have cost about $14,000. With a lease, Sungevity hooked up the panels, maintains them, and owns the power. It cost Jones about $4,000 for a 20-year lease to use that solar power, about 55 cents a day.
Unbelievable, really. It took me 3 or 4 days to get a hold of that, and I did all kinds of research. I thought it might have been a scam.
But so far, he says it's a great deal. He's still hooked up to the grid, but the panels lower his power bill to a few dollars a month. Sungevity founder Danny Kennedy says his company aims to make residential solar ubiquitous. The internet is a key factor. Homeowners enter their address at sungevity.com. An engineer evaluates their roof online.
So here you see your house and where we would put the panels.
Within 24 hours, potential customers get a price quote by email. No on-site evaluation needed.
We want to be the Amazon of solar, if you like, or the Netflix or the iTunes.
Phone reps seal the deal after customers get their online quote and celebrate with maracas. And some investors are getting the tax credits and rebates for that. Solar lease customers sign over any incentives to the leasing company's investors. That's how the companies attract capital. So much so that Sungevity and other solar lease outfits are now expanding to the East Coast, where even with less sun, they plan to make solar shine. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally this morning, get your motor running, head out on the highway. It's now legal to buy and sell motorcycles on a Sunday in New Jersey. The state's governor just signed the change into law. It was passed after a cycle shop complained about losing customers to stores across the border in Pennsylvania and Delaware on Sundays. It still doesn't apply to Bergen County across the Hudson from New York City. Blue laws in that part of Jersey still prohibit selling most non-essential items on Sunday. But this is pretty bold everywhere else in New Jersey.
Born to be wild.
Oh, wait. I see here that, like a dozen other states, New Jersey still doesn't allow auto sales on Sundays. Don't ask me why motorcycles are now a different matter. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The revolutions in the Arab world have given citizens a voice in more ways than you might think.
The fear that the phones are tapped and all we cannot speak is over.
Ankar Rizdal, Saudi Arabians find the courage to speak out. That story, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.